Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. With me, your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson. And back again, as always, is the man in charge, my co-host, Ray Jones. Ray, what's up?
What's up, Kelsey? How you doing tonight?
I'm fabulous. Always good to be back with you. And Ray, I hope everyone's excited because on today's show, we will be welcoming in Jamel Cutler of Hoop Magazine, which is the official publication of the NBA. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag ListenInWithKNN.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond. I'm your co-host, Ray Jones, and we're about to get into today's show with special guest, Jamel Cutler. Welcome back to the show. How are you feeling, Jamel?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for having me. It's a lot of stuff going on in the sports world. I mean, it's only Thanksgiving and like the NBA. We basically had like a full blown out soap opera.
It's crazy. So I think you said it best, Jamel. I mean, nobody wants us to have a happy Thanksgiving right now. It seems like everyone seems like they're salty. But before we get into the show, Jamel, you cover the New York sports scene. Ray is a New York native. So tell us the latest updates on the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, well, let's start with the Nets. Caris LeVert, he's the best player in the city before the injury. After the injury, I don't know how he's going to come back, but it's not that serious according to reports. But but yeah, he's the best player in the city. I mean, his numbers, like nobody on the Knicks besides Porzingis, and he's hurt, is touching his numbers.
Ooh, Ray, I know you have something to say.
I mean, he said it twice. I don't know if he's trying to convince himself or he's trying to convince me, but I don't know that I agree with that because I think Tim Hardaway Jr. gave him a run for his money, but that's just me personally.
Hmm. Oh, Tim Hardaway, he's basically a poor man's Melo. That's all he is.
Ooh.
And Melo's a Hall of Famer, so I'll take that.
That's all he is. He's nothing special. Overpaid. He takes bad shots. I mean, he makes Melo look like Ben Wallace on defense.
Mm. Why are y'all New York sports fans always so bitter and so salty?
That's just the way
we're coming to say out.
I didn't know we were coming into it with all this hostility. Jeez.
Yeah, that's just the way we are based as New Yorkers.
That's funny.
It's
all love, which is good because it's not all love here in D.C., so we might as well transition into the Doing It Big in the DMV segment. I know both of you guys have heard about this crazy saga that is called the Washington Wizards team. Reports just keep filing in like crazy. I will go to the latest report from Candace Buckner. She's a Washington Post reporter for the Washington Wizards. So basically, it seems like it stemmed from a Saturday practice which was very heated. It's reported that Bradley Beal and Austin Rivers, of all people, had a verbal altercation, and they said Beal grew heated, and he gestured towards President Ernie Grunfeld, saying something along the lines of, it starts at the top. And then if that wasn't enough, according to sources, John Wall and Jeff Green also got into their player-on-player verbal altercation, which led to coach Scott Brooks trying to intervene, and that's when Wall heard an expletive at the coach. And of course, if you've been following the Washington Wizards, you know he was recently fined for that. And then if that's not enough, emotions and frustrations are running high during a recent game. And Kelly Oubre Jr. also heard expletives at Brooks, according to someone who witnessed this. So I will start with you, Jamel, as our guest. What is going on in Washington and what can we do to end this madness?
I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. It's all entertaining. And for us, it gives us something to write about and talk about.
Yes, for sure.
But at the end of the day, they just need to get rid of everybody. And the first person that needs to go is your GM.
Yeah, but let me say this. I feel like Ernie has been there so safe. I feel like Ernie's not going anywhere, unfortunately. So if Ernie does not go, and we're looking at the players, what is your trade scenario look like?
I mean, they're so cash strapped because nobody's gonna touch Otto Porter.
I mean,
like their best trade scenario for me is either John Wall and Bradley Beal. They can trade those two and just get as much pieces as possible to kind of rebuild that team. Or they can just clear the cap, get rid of everybody, tank for a draft pick, and just start over. And me personally, if I was running that team, I would dig up Donnie Walsh, wherever he's at, and just have him rebuild the team, because he rebuilt the Knicks after Isaiah basically ruined them for a decade, and he did that in about 2 years. He got rid of all his bad contracts, and I think he can do the same thing in Washington.
You might have some people in D.C.'s ears now, Jamel. Let me switch it over to you, Ray. Just from your standpoint, Washington Wizards, I mean, do they need to break it up? Is it still too early in the season to be judging them? And is this just something that's, you know, part of the game? Like, what are your thoughts on everything happening in Washington?
Well, I don't necessarily think that we need to tear down everything. I feel like some of the acquisitions, like we talked about on a previous show, I thought Austin Rivers, Jeff Green and Dwight Howard were good pieces to get. So I don't know that the GM made a bad decision with those choices. It's just not gelling right now. And I think that's going to take a little bit of time. Like I said, I think it may be a little too early to panic. Once you get close to around Christmas time, if things aren't going that well, then maybe start moving pieces. I don't know that I would move John Wall and Bradley Beal. I think it would have to be one or the other. Most likely the most attractive piece would be Bradley Beal, simply because he's a little younger, his contract's a little cheaper. Of course, John Wall is the better player, in my opinion. He's a better two-way player. But just his contract alone, Bradley Beal is probably the most attractive. So my question to you guys is, if you were a team, which player would you prefer? And then the follow-up question would be, what teams do you think are even interested in either one of them?
That's a great one.
Well, me personally, I would prefer Bradley Beal because, as Kelsey knows, I'm not a big John Wall fan. But
you're not a big fan of the Wall star.
Yeah, but I think Bradley Beal, he plays like a lot like Klay Thompson. And what I mean by that is he's a great shooter. He can space the floor, and he can give you 20, and he can erupt for like 15 shots in a row at any given time. So I think not to sound like a homer here, but I think the Knicks should at least make a run at him, see what they can do. They can package Courtney Lee. They can package Frank. I know they're not going to give up any draft picks, but maybe they can fill in somebody else just to make the numbers work.
Yeah.
And then that'll be a good starting point. At least they'll have a superstar, or not a superstar, a star, and Bradley Beal, and that'll make – and that'll make the free agent a big time free agent next season. Well, in this off season, they'll make the Knicks more attractive because they'll have at least Bradley Beal as a starter piece.
That's a good point. I feel like this is such an interesting thing, right? Like, for a long time, I felt like we never thought the backcourt duo of John Wall and Bradley Beal would ever be broken up. But right now, no one can explain what's happening with this Washington Wizards team, right? But I say that to say, I think we've been known it's not working. Everybody in Washington, unfortunately, they've been perennial losers in the fact that we know they're not going to win the East. So something does have to change. I wish it did start at the top, but for some reason, Ernie Grunfeld is sitting in his chair very comfortably, and I don't see anything happening to him. I agree with you. I think Bradley Beal is the more sexier player to trade, in the fact that, I mean, he's a shooter. You compared him to Klay Thompson. Bradley Beal, for the most part, you know, is going to get you shots and points. I do like John Wall better as a two-way player, but I don't see Washington letting him go, in the fact that Washington, for a long time, they've liked to build on players. Before it was Agent Zero with Gilbert Arenas. Right now it's John Wall. And I don't think John Wall's a bad player. I just don't think, for some reason, he has the right players around him. I do like Dwight Howard with Wizards because I think he challenges a John Wall, but I don't know. Bradley Beal, you made an interesting scenario, but I think he goes to a lot of teams in the fact that he's a shooter, but that contract aspect of his, and I don't know who you're going to let go for him. I really don't know where I could see him end up, but I definitely don't see both of them going as a lot of people are suggesting. You see both of them going, Ray?
Well, actually, I was going to say, if you really think back about the past seasons that the Wizards have had, they have had some success. So they have shown that the two of them together can work. So in my opinion, I don't know that it's necessarily the roster. I kind of want to look at the head coach.
Scott Brooks definitely needs to go, I think, for sure.
John Wall has an issue with him, so it's obviously something festering between them. They really haven't really attracted many high-power free agents. Like, I know they went and got Scott Brooks for the goal of trying to get KD, and KD still didn't come back. It was Scott Brooks bringing their former coach, and I think ever since then it kind of was like it went downhill from that point, I guess. So maybe he wasn't the best choice at the time, and maybe it's just his system doesn't fit the players. Like, it seems like the players are not – I wouldn't say they're against each other, because John Wall and Bradley Beal seem to have some type of chemistry where they play well together. Maybe it's the coaching staff or the coaching system, not necessarily the players. Just from the outside looking in, it seems like it's more to it, just moving pieces, because they seem to always have different pieces coming in and out, in and out. And they manage success every now and then. So, you know.
I mean, me personally, I just think John Wall needs like a mentor, because you can't go out partying and then the next day you're shooting 5 for 12. At least when Jordan.
You know, there's a Twitter page for his Rose Bar activities. It's John Wall at the Rose Bar. It's the actual Twitter page they created.
At least when Jordan and Rodman did it before playoff games, they still produced the next day. So that's my whole thing. Like, he's not a good leader, so that's why I think he needs a good role model, like a guy like Jarrett Jack, somebody that's not gonna play big minutes but just to kind of like guide him.
I'll just add, I think it's too late for John Wall to have this mentor role, because I think it's too late. You want to start that when they're younger, and John Wall is an NBA veteran now. But I will say, with Washington, as great as – I mean, Ray, I think you make a good point. The Wizards are not a horrible team until this season. But unfortunately, the only time the Wizards, we actually had a glimpse of maybe winning that East, I think was the last time we had it, I think, was when Paul Pierce was on this Washington Wizards team. I think we've always been proponents of saying John Wall and Bradley Beal need that third star. They need that help. And the Wizards front organization has not been able to get that for them. I think everybody thought Dwight Howard would be a big buzz and big spark. He's not Superman anymore, all right? Gortat wasn't as efficient as we wanted him to be. Nene, they got rid of him, of course, the big Brazilian. And it just seems like Washington is having trouble getting John Wall, the other star player that he needs. And I think that's where a lot of the frustration is going. And then I think John Wall and Bradley Beal have this constant fight to both be the stars of the franchise. So Washington, I don't know. It's a lot going on, but it is a story we will have to continue to follow, but hopefully, Wizards fans, something happens, or at least they let those ticket prices down, because it's not good basketball being played in Washington, to say the least. And switching it over to the football side, guys, the Washington Redskins also not in the happiest boat, as they just lost, of course, on Sunday. But if that's enough, not only did they lose the game, they lost Washington Redskins starting quarterback Alex Smith breaking his tibia and fibula in his right leg, which is crazy. The same day, 33 years ago, that Joe Theismann did pretty much the exact same thing. Crazy to think about. Ray, the Washington Redskins. So Mark Sanchez being signed as the backup quarterback. Is there any hope for Washington as they prepare for this Thanksgiving Day matchup against the Dallas Cowboys?
I'm gonna be honest. The Redskins weren't the greatest of teams before he got injured. Granted, they were leading the division, but I think that's going to be a big hit to their season. And I was actually at the game on Sunday when he got injured, and you can kind of like feel all the air come out the stadium. Like, they kind of knew
at
that point, because if you watch the video, like, I didn't catch I caught the video of it when I was watching, and you saw the bone pop out, and I was like, oh man, yeah, that's the season.
Feel
the whole energy in the building left, and they weren't the same after that. Colt McCoy gave a little slight spark, but they realized it wasn't going to be enough. And even still with the season, I don't think it's going to be enough. Cowboys are on the run right now. They're playing well. The Eagles, of course, are still in the Super Bowl slump, and the Giants are making the move too. So they may have some. I mean, they may be out of time, but the Cowboys are definitely on a roll right now. I think the Redskins, they kind of need to just I was surprised Mark Sanchez was the first look. Well, I know they tried out like three different quarterbacks. I know they said Mark Sanchez had some familiarity with the system and the coaches, but I feel like they may have had other opportunities. Colin Kaepernick's out there. He could have provided a more spark. I know it's middle of the season. It's hard for a quarterback to come in and learn the playbook, but I'm not sure that Colt McCoy will be the player to get them into the playoffs.
Okay. And, Jamel, I know you're not much of a football guy, but just looking at the Washington Redskins, do you think they can stay atop the NFC East?
Well, they play in a weak division, so, I mean, it's possible, but I really don't see it happening. And I'm a Giants fan, so it pains me to say this. It really does. I think Dallas will beat them on Sunday.
Okay.
I mean, not on Thursday.
On Thanksgiving, yeah.
And I think that game will be the deciding factor on who wins the NFC East.
Okay. Lots to be said with Washington. We'll have to keep an eye out. And now let's switch over to our top news around the nation in sports. And let's move to the NFL. Of course, Sunday brought us a lot of great games. And, Ray, I will start with you. After Sunday, a lot of people are talking about Andrew Luck, some even saying he's a legitimate MVP candidate. He threw for 3 touchdown passes in Sunday's victory over the Tennessee Titans. So let me ask you, do you think there is legitimacy behind thinking Andrew Luck could be a possible MVP candidate?
Truthfully, I think it'll be a travesty if it doesn't go to Drew.
Okay.
Granted, Andrew Luck is playing well right now. He's kind of hot right now. But Drew Brees has been playing at a very high and consistent level the entire season. His team has the best record in the league. It's only right that he continue. If he continues at this pace, it's only right that he gets the MVP trophy. Granted, Andrew Luck should be considered in the conversation. But you also have Patrick Mahomes. You had Jared Goff, who's having a pretty good season. You have Todd Gurley, who's having a pretty good season. Like, there's some other players that have been doing it pretty much all season long. But it's good to see Andrew Luck finally reaching his full potential. You see he has the offensive line is protecting him, and he's had time to hit his receivers, and he's doing well with that. So I'm happy for him, but I think Drew Brees is pretty much running away with the MVP trophy at this point.
Oh, okay. And staying around quarterbacks conversation, Jamel, all eyes are on Baltimore as Lamar Jackson got his first start at quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. And many are saying Joe Flacco might have played his last snap for the Baltimore Ravens. How are you feeling about Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, Jamel?
I mean, I think if they surround him with the right pieces, I think he can be a very good quarterback in the NFL. I know a lot of people wanted him to play on special teams and wide receivers or as a receiver. But I think his true calling is a quarterback. He reminds me a lot of a young Michael Vick.
Yeah, that's what everyone's saying now.
I mean, I think Flacco had his time. He did what he could, but it's time for him to go.
Oh, man. What about you, Ray? Are you a believer in Lamar Jackson? Can he lead Baltimore? Can he lead this franchise and kind of be that next face of the franchise as Flacco continues to get older and many are asking what's next?
I mean, I do think it may be time for Baltimore to move on from Joe Flacco, but the strategy of having Lamar Jackson run over 20 times in a game.
Yeah.
I don't like that offensive strategy. Granted, they play to his strengths, which I totally understand. But you have to also look down their sideline. They have another player, Robert Griffin III, who ran a little bit too much at times, and he ended up getting injured. So I don't know that they should necessarily use that as a strategy every game. Granted, they can do like Cam Newton. You know, they put design plays in for him to get a couple runs in. But 20-plus runs for a quarterback is a bit obsessive, and they put him in a lot of danger. I think he can be successful. I think he still can be a quality quarterback, but they have to limit him running the ball that many times. That's a lot of unnecessary hits that he doesn't need. Granted, they have 3 or 4 quality running backs on their roster, so they should not necessarily need to have their quarterback running that many plays. But I feel like Joe Flacco, it is maybe time for the Ravens to move on from Joe Flacco. He may just need to change the scenery. It seems like I know, let's go on the radio. People are calling in. They're tired of Joe Flacco. For whatever reason, some people are just over Joe Flacco. So
what do you mean for whatever reason? Do you see him in Baltimore, right? He's not doing much. In some games, he doesn't throw a touchdown. No quarterback like Joe Flacco should not have at least one touchdown a game. It's some hard times in Baltimore.
Joe Flacco had played very well at times when he got you guys to the Super Bowl.
At times, right?
So
go back to the Super Bowl.
He forgot how to play? Like, I don't think he forgot how to play. I think it may be other things involved, not just all. He's just getting the brunt of the blame. I understand he's the quarterback, but he's clearly, like, he didn't just forget how to play all of a sudden. So
I'm just
going to
rant real quick, though, Ray. Because Joe Flacco, I'm not going to call him elite, right? Joe Flacco is one of those quarterbacks, I think, for history. Everyone's going to ask, where does he fall? And where is his legacy? Because Joe, yes, he was great. But honestly, the Super Bowl season, Joe played good football, but that Ravens team helped him a great deal. He had a great team around him. And let me say, Ray Lewis was not leaving without a ring. He made sure he got his ring before he retired. But I say that to say, I think Joe Flacco has become very comfortable in the NFL. And so he just does stuff that a veteran should not do. Some of the interceptions that he throws and some of the bad decisions that he makes. It's just no excuse for it. I mean, and I think, and he's good with the status quo. And then also, I'll be honest with you, I think people are tired of Joe just acting like he doesn't care. Joe Flacco shows no emotion. I promise you, watch him play a game. If you get emotion out of Joe, I don't know what happened, but it's somebody else inside of him. But I think Baltimore is ready for something new and exciting. And that's what Lamar Jackson brings. I'm like you, Ray. I think they're going to have to protect him. He can't run around like he did in that last game. Thank gosh the Bengals have a horrible defense and he was able to. But he's going to get hurt. He will not slide. That's scary. You need to protect him. But I guess the only other exciting thing for Baltimore is that they do have RG3 on the bench behind Lamar Jackson. So who knows? Maybe they can get crafty with some plays. And Flacco's hip is still recovering. Who knows? I mean, I think RG3 is trying to make a comeback himself as well, even though I know he's not everyone's favorite. But Lamar Jackson, congratulations on his first win. I'm excited to see what he does next. But Baltimore fans, I would say hold the horses. He's too young, and there's not enough on that team to get Baltimore to the promised land. But now let's switch over back to basketball, and let's go to my Are You Serious for Now segment, where I have to ask this question. The Golden State Warriors, and I'll start with you, Jamel. What's going on with Draymond Green and KD? Why is all love lost now?
Well, KD, he's sensitive, so that's just first and foremost.
You can't and say Draymond, that on the show, because then all the PG County people where he's from are going to come at me and be like, you're going to let somebody from New York call KD soft, and he's from PG County? Is he really soft, Jamel?
Oh, yeah, he is. I've seen him inside the locker room.
He's soft?
So when Dre called them, what he called them, in the locker room, he had the right to call him that because, man, let's just face it. But anyway.
Jeez, you just come on the show mean. Firing shots at everybody.
But anyway, is it
KD's last year in Golden State?
Oh, yeah. KD was leaving well before that argument took place. He knew exactly what he was doing when he signed with Golden State. Win a couple of championships just for the sake of his legacy, and then go on somewhere else. Where that somewhere else is, I really don't know. I mean, I would like to see him in New York, but the way our media is, they'll eat
him alive. What about you, Ray?
I agree with him. I would love to see him come to New York, and honestly, I think between the Lakers and New York, those are his top two teams.
I feel the Lakers.
That's just the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah.
I definitely think this is his last season in Golden State, and I feel like that was his plan all along, get two rings for his legacy and move on to another team. I mean, it would be great to see him come to the Wizards. That would be John Wall's sparring partner, but I don't know that he's ready to come back home yet. But like you said, with the New York media, that's going to be a struggle for KD because I wouldn't call him the B word or anything like that or say he's soft, but he does seem to be a bit sensitive when people criticize him. And the New York media doesn't really care about any of that. They just going to go. They're going to say whatever they want to say. And either you're going to play better or you're going to just have to suck it up. So
Let me ask you guys. Sorry, what's wrong with a sensitive man? Why do we make it seem like it's such a bad thing?
Can't be sensitive on the court. Like, if I have somebody on my team, I don't want them to be sensitive.
Okay.
You have to
but
go
I would
all
play
out.
Devil's advocate and say, like, that sensitivity could bring more emotion to the game, which could propel you, I guess, for more intensity in the game, right?
But I guess that's just the way society is today, because the way I came up and the players that I grew up watching, none of them behaved the same the way that Kevin Durant behaves.
Sensitivity thing is more so like how you respond to the sensitivity. Like for him to have the ghost accounts and responding to people random eggs on Twitter, like you've been wasting your time doing that. So I get it. You want to say something, but you're not going to be able to respond to everybody. So why even do it? For example, there's a video floating around. I guess a fan was heckling him from the sideline against the Dallas Mavericks, and he told him to shut the F up and just watch the game. And I'm like, dang, bro, you was really that mad? I mean, I get it. I totally get it. Because fans say crazy stuff at games. So, but you don't think that's going to happen if he goes to the Knicks? Like, if he has one bad game, they're going to try to roast him.
Right.
So, I mean,
just
stuff like that, you don't want that to distract from your game. Like, you're a great player. Why are you letting these peons bother you? See what I'm saying? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, I don't mean to say like you're supposed to have sensitive. You're supposed to be somewhat sensitive. You're supposed to care. We want people to care.
Yeah.
Like you said, Joe Flacco seems like he doesn't care. So we want him to care,
yeah.
But we don't want him to the point that it's affecting him or he's like dwelling on it or it's hindering his preparation. Like sitting in the locker room tweeting back to these people. I mean, you could have been doing something more positive than that. Like you're not going to get anything out of responding to these people. So.
And staying on the sensitivity aspect, I mean, Golden State is not looking like Golden State. So the team just had their third consecutive loss. They just lost 104-92 to the Spurs on Sunday. And after the game, head coach Steve Spurs said his team has been in a dream and is now playing in the real NBA. And, of course, the superstars on the court, unfortunately, are not all there. You have Steph Curry and Draymond Green sidelined to injury, but just get this. So this was a great report. Over the past 7 games by the Warriors, they lost to the Bucks by 23. All right. They beat the Nets by 16, lost to the Clippers in overtime by 5, beat the Hawks by 7, lost to the Rockets by 21, lost to the Mavs by 3, and lost to the Spurs by 12. Are they going to get another ring this year, Ray? Or do you think there might be some competition now, right, with all the stuff happening in Golden State?
Honestly, I think this may be the year they lose. I just don't know. I haven't quite knocked down who they're going to lose to yet. There's a lot of teams that still – like, I think Philly may make some noise in the East. Of course, you got Boston in the East, but they're having their own issues. It seems like the Lakers are kind of pulling together. I'm not saying they're going to make it to the championship, but they look like they're starting to a little bit. They may make a move to add another piece. Of course, you got Houston, who's not really gelling right now, but – They may mellow the scapegoat, so we'll see if those issues are corrected. San Antonio seems to be coming together with DeMar DeRozan now. So I think this may be a year that Golden State may be vulnerable. Steph's injured. Draymond and KD have their personal issues. The bench isn't as deep as it used to be. So this may be the vulnerable year. They may have a chink in their armor and teams may expose it. And then you also got to think about once Boogie comes back, how they're going to put him into the team and into the strategy. How is he going to get implemented? Is he going to cause a rift with the other players losing minutes? Is the chemistry going to be right? So it's a lot of moving pieces going on right now. So this may be the year they
A lot of tangibles. What about you, Jamel? Will Kevin Durant get his third ring this third season with the Golden State Warriors?
Oh yeah, definitely. They might be struggling now, but come February, March, April, May, they'll be right back on course, running through everybody. They'll win the third straight. It should have been 4, but that's another story for another day. And then Kevin Durant, he's gonna ride off into the sunset. But I do think, like Ray was saying, they're not invincible like they were last year. I think Toronto could push them to maybe 6 or 7. Again, with Houston, I don't know what's going on with their defense.
It's lost.
He got traded to, or he left to go to Phoenix. That's what happened. He left Ariza walk out the door. They let Mbamute walk out the door.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
And real quick, I got to touch on this before we end. Carmelo Anthony, what is next? I'll start with you, Ray.
Why do you want to start with me? You know that's going to just make me cry. Now you want
to
see, you
want to
see my
sensitive
side.
What's happening with Carmelo? What do you think? What's next for him?
I really don't know. Like, I thought Houston was the perfect fit. Honestly, I felt like he should have went to Houston last year instead of going to OKC. But Houston was his the perfect opportunity. He could catch and shoot, didn't really have to create too much, didn't really have to do much because Chris Paul was going to create for him. All he had to do was catch and shoot. He got ran out of Houston, and they're trying to make him the scapegoat. And I don't know where else he can go. Like, people are saying the Lakers, but why would he go to the Lakers? They got enough threes and fours. They don't need another three or four. They already got Michael Beasley sitting on the bench not getting many minutes. So where's Melo going to fit in there? They got Kuzma, Ingram, Lance Stephenson, LeBron. Like, there's no minutes for Melo there. So I really don't know where Melo's going to go. Maybe Philly? Maybe? He could be a stretch four in Philly, but him holding that ball ain't going to work in Philly. They move the ball pretty well.
And that's the thing. His hands are glued to that ball, Ray. You know it. I don't know what's going to happen with that aspect. And it's funny because so Mark J. Spears of the Undefeated reported that the Golden State Warriors are not even considering Melo, so you can wipe them out the equation. But an interesting question has now come up about Carmelo, and I'll shift this to you, Jamel. Is Carmelo Anthony, is he a HOF? Is he a Hall of Famer?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. But for Melo, the hardest thing as a basketball player is to move on from the game when the game has already moved on from you. And unfortunately for Melo, the game has moved on from him. Because primarily, he's always been a one-on-one type of player. And he never did stuff as he got older, like Vince Carter, for example. He never did anything to make him that more attractive to other teams. So, like, he's basically a one-dimensional player. And teams today, they like more dynamic players that can do more. Kind of like your guy Otto Porter, for example.
I can't tell if that's shade or not.
So, let me ask this question. Y'all feel like Melo's not good enough to be in the league anymore? Or you just think there's no fit for him? Because I think he's definitely still good enough to be in the league.
I mean,
so where would you put him, Ray? I'm sorry, where would you put him if he's still good enough? Like, where can he go?
To be honest with you, I think he should pull a Dwayne Wade and go back to New York and just be on his farewell tour.
I know Javale has something to say about that.
You put him at the four, he can give us a strong 15 to 20 points a game. Porzingis is out anyway, so it's not like he's taking minutes from anybody because you could still play Knox at the three, Tim Hardaway at the two, and then you have Frank at the one and Moody at the one. Not really doing much with Courtney Lee. They might as well try to move Courtney Lee for a young piece or maybe a draft pick anyway. Why not bring Melo back? It'll give the fans something. Granted, we're not going to really win much with it, but it'll be a heartfelt type of move for the fans. It'll keep people happy. Melo will still be able to give us points. He might even increase our win share a little bit. He might win us a couple of games. Maybe potentially get us into the playoffs. Maybe. It's not like he's washed. I don't think Melo's washed. I just don't know that he's been able to accept his new role and the way the NBA is now. That holding the ball is not going to necessarily work, but he can still shoot the ball. He hasn't been shooting well this year, of course, but I don't think he just forgot how to shoot. Most people become better shooters as they get older. So maybe he just needs to – I don't know. I just feel like maybe the Knicks will be his last resort. I don't think he's done. I don't think he's washed. I just feel like he just needs to go somewhere where not that much pressure is on him, not that much – is demanded out of him, because we know the Knicks know they're not going to be winning this year. So he can go maybe just put some stats on the board, not even necessarily win games, but it increases stats, make him get his shot back a little bit, and then maybe next year he may be able to fill another role somewhere else or just retire as a Knick. That's everybody's dream. I have plenty of Melo jerseys. I didn't want to have to get rid of them or hang them up or put them in the closet. I want to still wear my Melo jersey. Come back to the Knicks, Melo. Tell him I said it.
What do you think about all that, Jamel?
I mean, for a guy like Carmelo, I'm not trying to be funny or anything, but he should go to China and just reinvent his stuff just like Stephon Marbury did.
Okay.
I mean,
make good money over there.
If he comes back to the Knicks, it'll be a good story, but honestly, I think he'll just suck the growth of Kevin Knox and Alonzo and all the young players. I mean, it'll be a good story, but
you think he'll stunt their growth?
Oh yeah. Those young guys, they need to be out there in the fire playing. They don't need to be watching Carmelo shoot 30, 20, and 30 times a game. We have
oh, no, he's
that
definitely going to have to take a decreased role. I'm not necessarily saying we feed him like the offense runs through him. It was more so like you can help us out, maybe be a mentor.
Oh, yeah.
Because Knox is kind of built. I would say not built like Melo, but his game kind of mirrors Melo's a little bit, like in the younger Melo days, so he can maybe help, like, mentor him in a mentorship role, but still give us kind of like the way when Paul Pierce went to the Wizards. Like, he didn't play crazy minutes. He more was the closer, but he also was kind of like grooming Otto Porter a little. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point, Brad.
I just don't want to see
Melo
go out like this, man. That's all. I don't want to see Melo go this way.
Nobody wants to see Melo go out like this. I think we all have love for Melo. I just think he needs to take some notes from Vince Carter if he really wants to elongate his career in the NBA, because I think you guys both said it, but the way his game is played, let's be honest, no one's rushing to sign Carmelo Anthony anymore, and but he just seems like he's stuck in his ways. So I just don't know. I just don't know. But honestly, I would take him in Washington for the fact that nothing's working in Washington, so why not try it? But Jamel, I have to thank you so much for talking hoops and football with us. It was a blast to have you on our show.
Thank you for having me. And Ray, I better see you at the Garden sometime this year.
Ah.
I'm actually going to the Sixers and Knicks game in December. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it up to the Garden this year, man. Every time I try to get a ticket to the Garden, those ticket prices are a little high, so I got to catch them on the roof.
Well, Jamel, thanks again.
All right,
yeah,
thank you for having
we
me.
Had to make the New York connection. Always have to show I'm not biased against New York. DC loves New York. It was a blast having you on, and to everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online each and every Tuesday at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy your holiday, and we will be back with Listen In with K&N. Don't forget, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another class.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.